sleep all night for the first time since... All of them that counted for anything. Right now she could do anything she pleased with Taglios, if she was here.
She isn't?
Long Shadow had not kept him posted.
Where is she?
By now she may be in Dejagore. Slowly, slowly, he milked the Radisha of news. A lot had happened. Perhaps Long Shadow had told him none of this because he did not know himself, which might place the situation beyond reclamation. Who broke up Shadow Spinner's attack on Dejagore? The prince never said a word. He just sat there looking sleepy. An awful sign. The prince was most dangerous when he seemed indifferent. He was not going to pull it off. He did not want to. But if he failed... The face of the Shadow Master burned in his brain. Terror unmanned him. He gobbled.
We have to do something. We have to control her before she devours this whole nation.
The Prabhrindra had opened his eyes. There was no sympathy in them.
I took your advice, Smoke. I reread those old books 6 times. They've convinced me.
The wizard nearly collapsed with joy.
They've convinced me you're full of shit.
This company has nothing to do with that. I'm on her side.
Chapter 44
I scattered the spell that baffled shadows, though it was not yet dark. It would be dark before we finished. The horsemen were in place. The Shadowlanders did not appear suspicious. They were up to whatever with those work parties. Both had vanished into the hills, taking 1,000 men out of my way. What temper possessed Shadow Spinner? Not a good one, surely. Having 4,000 men nipped off an undermanned siege force had to stick in his craw. Blade had spread enough infantrymen around to cover the cavalry withdrawal. I told Ram, "It's time." He nodded. He did not have much to say now. I urged my stallion onto an outcrop from which we would be visible all over the plain. He followed. I hoped he would do nothing clumsy. Falling off your horse takes something away from high drama. I drew my sword. It blossomed fire. Trumpets sounded. The horsemen broke cover. The Shadar element were very nearly veterans now. Blade had them in shape. I was pleased by their performance. Chaos broke its chains down below. It seemed the Shadowlanders would never get together. I feared I would have another unexpected victory on my hands. It was full dark before I lowered my sword and the trumpets sounded recall. The Shadowlanders did not pursue my horsemen. Blade showed up quickly.
What now? The message has been delivered. Maybe we should back off.
A gangrenous glow formed inside the wall camp beside the city.
Before that gets here.
I canceled the spells illuminating Ram and myself, dismounted, led the way out of there. I stumbled into Sindhu, who had come from Narayan with the question Blade had asked. I told him,
I want Narayan and your friends to join me. Evacuate the cavalry. The infantry should come out behind them. We'll take tomorrow off.
I needed the rest. I felt drained all the time. All I wanted to do was lie down and sleep. I had been going on willpower for so long I feared I would collapse at a critical moment. There had been no time to filter all the infantry down the slope. Once it had become apparent that that was impossible, I had sent the majority back to make camp. I longed to be there now. But the night was not yet done. The valley glowed as though a cancerous green moon was rising there. The green grew brighter.
Down!
I snapped and hit the dirt. A ball of ugly light crashed into the eminence from which I had observed the fighting. Earth and vegetation melted. Smoke filled the air. Fire started but burned out quickly. My companions were awed. I was pleased. Shadow Spinner had missed by 200 yards. He did not know where I was. His bats were flying to kill my trap, and his shadows were confused. Sometimes little tricks can be as useful as ones like Spinner's fireball.
Let's move out,
I said. He'll need time to ready another shot.
take advantage of it. Ram, let's get out of the way and out of these costumes. They're too damn cumbersome. We did that. Horsemen moved past, talking softly, warily, in good spirits. They had made a big mess out there. They were pleased with themselves. Narion's friends gathered, one now, one then. By the time the infantry started out, there were 80 of them.
"Mainly men of my band," he explained. "They came to Goja in answer to my summons. What do you plan now?"
"Down." Shadow Spinner was pasting the hills with random sorceries, hurling his darts blind. From beside Narayan, with stones grinding into my belly and breasts, I murmured, "We're going to infiltrate their camp and try for the Shadow Master." I could not see his face. Just as well, probably. The idea did not thrill him.
"But..."
"Never have a better chance. Long Shadow knows everything that happens as soon as it happens. His resources haven't been tapped. He sees Shadow Spinner in bad trouble, he'll do something. Send the Howler, probably. We'd better get what we can while we can get it." He did not want to try. Damn him! If he refused, his stranglers would too. But he had sewn himself into a sack. I was his daughter of night. For his own sake, he dared not argue. He grunted, whispered,
"I don't like it. If it has to be done, please don't you go. The risk is too great."
"I have to. I'm the Messiah, remember? It's still that time when I have to win support by demonstration." I did not want to go. I just wanted to lie down and sleep. But my role demanded I play it totally. He selected 25 men whose abilities he knew. The rest he dismissed. They joined the soldiers headed for camp. Lucky bastards.
"Sindhu, take 4 men and scout ahead, as carefully as you can. Don't take anybody out without checking, unless you have to."
He chose the men to accompany Sindhu. We followed in a tighter crowd, with flankers out. Narayan knew his small unit tactics. Shadows fluttered around us, still blind to our presence. But I did not trust their blindness. Had I been Shadow Spinner, I would have had them pretend. Chaos still reigned. Spinner kept pounding the hills. Maybe his shadows did not know where we were, only that we had not all departed. Sindhu drifted back from the point.
"Ground's wet ahead."
That made no sense. It had been dry before sundown. It had not rained.
"Water?"
I asked.
"Yes."
Strange, but no way to see what it meant before morning. "Be careful." He went forward again. We resumed moving. Soon I was in water an inch deep. The earth beneath was not waterlogged. The reason for part of the confusion became apparent. The Shadowlanders were trying to stay away from the hills. When they got too close to the city, archers sniped at them. But the disorder was sorting itself out. Sindhu had to eliminate several sentries. Shadow Spinner stopped hammering the hills. Narayan guessed.
His shadows were watching his sentries.
Not so. Their confusion was caused by my proximity. It would envelop the sentries. But maybe he sensed our approach some other way. I sent word to Sindhu to run for it the instant he thought we were walking into something. I was 100 yards from the old walled camp. Sindhu was at its shattered gate. He thought the way was clear. We might actually get our shot at Shadow Spinner. All hell broke loose. 50 fireballs jumped straight up to push back the night. Their light betrayed 100 men stealing toward the camp. Taglian men and big black men. Some were in hand-shaking distance of my stranglers. I looked into the eyes of their commander, Mogaba the Nar, from 30 feet away. He had had the same idea as I'd had. Chapter 45. Long Shadow glanced across a table where a bowl of mercury sat, reflecting the frightened, wavering face of his slave Smoke. The Howler floated over there. Between them, they had just enough strength to communicate with the little wizard. The Howler was amused. The slave had nothing good to report.
Senjak not only was not available, she had evaded his eye well enough to have moved south, perhaps as far as Stormguard. Long Shadow flung a hand out above the bowl and broke the pattern. Smoke faded, chaotic colors melting. Howler chuckled.
You should have seduced him. You're too enamored of brute force. Took more time to do it the hard way, and now he's a bent tool. And they don't trust him.
Don't tell me how to...
This was not one of his powerless minions. This one was almost as strong as he. He would not endure attempts at intimidation. He had to be placated, lulled, seduced.
Let's check on our colleague at Stormguard.
They joined at Talents. Though Long Shadow could reach that far without help, help did forge the connection more quickly. It was apparent Shadow Spinner was preoccupied. He responded only sporadically. The magnitude and scope of his troubles became clear only slowly.
Damn it all! 4,000 men lost. Chaos among the besiegers. Who knew how many more men lost tonight?
Shadow Spinner falling back on his last desperate device for keeping the city sealed. That's Senjak herself this time. Has to be. And she's recovered some of her skills.
Or she's found someone to provide them.
That was Howler, always finding extra explanations, confusing issues. Damn him. It would be a pleasure killing him. Maybe it would take a century to finish him.
Whatever. She's there. We can end the threat she poses. Have you completed the new carpet?
It's ready.
I'll give you 3 capable men from my guard. Bring her here. We will enjoy her for ages to come.
Would Howler accept that? He was not naive. It was a risk sending him. He might run off with Senjak. The knowledge she possessed. Forewarned is forearmed. He would send his best 3 men.
Fail in this, and there will be but 1 answer left. I shall have to loose one of the big ones off the plane.
The Howler's concentration broke momentarily. A terrible wail tore through his lips. Then the little bundle of rags chuckled.
Consider her caught. I have a score to settle myself.
Long Shadow watched the rag bag drift out, taking its odor with it. Maybe its first torment would consist of soap and water. He sent for his best 3 guards and briefed them, then tried contacting Shadow Spinner again. Spinner did not respond. He was preoccupied. Or dead. He retreated to his crystal tower. Crows perched on its top peered down. It was time he did something about them. Permanently. After he sent Shadows to Deja Gore. Chapter 46. Mogaba was much more surprised to see me than I was to see him. An immense displeasure marred his features, a grand measure of his surprise. He was always in control of what he showed the world. The look persisted only a moment. He altered his course to join me. Before he reached me, Ram was beside me, between him and me, and Abda had materialized to my left. Narayan was making certain no outsider caused me grief. Up ahead, Sindhu cursed the light and ordered men to move. It was hit fast or die.
"Lady," Mogaba said, "we thought you dead."
He was a big man without an ounce of waste on him, muscled like a fictional hero. He was blacker than Blade and a consummate commander, one of the Nar, descendants of the original Black Company. Croker had enlisted him in Geazli during our southward journey. The Nar constituted a separate warrior class there. With 1,000 Nar, I could have cleaned the Shadowmasters out as fast as the men could march. There were only 15 or 20 left alive, I guessed. All loyal to Mogaba.
Did you?
I'm tougher than you think. His men piled into the camp with mine, trying to reach Shadow Spinner before he reacted. I suspected Mogaba's men had triggered the lights. In Spinner's place, I would have expected an attack from him before one from me.
"Do you have the lance?"
he asked. The question took me from the blind side. I would have thought he wanted to talk about the siege, or which of us had the stronger claim to the captaincy.
"What lance?"
he smiled, relieved.
"The standard.
Mergen lost it. He was stretching the truth somehow. I turned the conversation to business. We would not have much time. The Shadowlanders were getting ready to interrupt. How bad off are you? I have no veterans and few trained men. I can only harass them, not break you out. We aren't in good shape. Their last assault nearly overcame us. Where did you get your power? Who were you riding with? Mergen saw Croker die. The enemies of the Shadow Masters are my friends. Better to be cryptic than to hand him free information. Why don't you put an end to the Shadow Masters? I could not answer without lying. I lied. My friend is no longer with me. Who was up there today? Anyone can wear armor. He smiled tightly, showing a thin strip of sharp teeth. The captaincy, then? You don't plan to let me get out of here, do you? We spoke the language of the Jewel Cities, both disinclined to let our companions in on the conversation. Men started screaming inside the encampment. I shouted, "Narion, come on!" The Shadowlanders west of us would be ready to move any moment. I told Mogaba, "There's no problem with the captaincy. The progression was established. When the captain dies, the lieutenant steps into his shoes." The tradition is for the captain to be elected. We were both right. Mogaba shouted, "Sindawi, let's go! It won't work!" His archers and artillerymen on the wall were hard at work, laying down fire to cover his withdrawal. "We know where we stand, lady."
"Do we? I have no enemies but those who choose to make themselves my enemies. I'm interested only in the destruction of the Shadow Masters."
My men flew past me. Mogaba's flew past him. A wall of Shadowlanders hurtled toward us. Mogaba showed me that smile, turned, headed for the city in the safety of ropes hanging down the wall. Ram gouged me.
"Move, mistress!"
I moved. A gang of Shadowlanders came after my band, thinking us the easier meat. In the hills, some observer had initiative enough to bluff them by sounding trumpets. They slackened the chase. We vanished into the dark ravines. We assembled. I asked Narayan, "Did we get close?"
"We would have had him if those others hadn't alerted him. Sindhu wasn't 10 feet from him."
"Where is he?" Sindhu had not come back. I hated to lose him. Narayan grinned.
"He's healthy. We lost only 2 stranglers. Those you don't see got caught in the confusion and fled to the city."
For once I did not mind his grin. "Quick thinking, Narayan. You think he'll find many friends there?"
"A few. Mostly I wanted him to get to your friends, those who might not be enchanted with that Mogaba."
Mogaba was not much of a problem yet. He was in no position to trouble me. The cure for him was to let him rot. I could just pretend to look for ways to relieve the city while actually only training my men till they suffered the illusion they were soldiers. Meantime, Mogaba could wear the enemy down for me. The flaw, of course, was that Shadow Spinner had allies who might decide to help him. Dejagore and its surroundings were not worth much anymore, but the city did have symbolic value. The Shadowlands were more heavily populated down south. The peoples there would be watching. The fate of Dejagore could decide the fate of the Shadow Master's empire. If they lost the city and we looked likely to move south again, the oppressed might revolt. All that passed through my mind while I tried to muster strength enough to cross the hills to our camp. I could not make it. Ram had to help me. Chapter 47. The riders paused to consider the hill beside the road. The woman said, "She's sure gotten them busy." What had been a bald hilltop a few weeks ago now boasted a maze of stonework. Construction looked like a day-and-night project.
"She gets things done."
Croker wondered how Lady was getting on down south. He wondered why they had come here. "She does. Damn her." The sorceress touched him gently like a lover. She did that all the time now, and she looked so much like Lady. He had trouble resisting. She smiled. She knew what he was thinking. He had his justifications lined up. She had the battle halfway won.
He ground his teeth, stared at the fortress, and ignored her. She touched him again. He tried to remark on the layout of the fortress, found nothing would come out. He looked at her again, wide-eyed.
"Just a precaution, my love. You haven't surrendered your heart, but in time you'll come around. Come, let's visit our friends."
She urged her stallion forward.
Circling crows led the way. Ketcher wanted to attract attention. She got it. She was a beautiful and exotic woman. He understood when she spoke to a man as though she knew him. She meant to pass as lady. No wonder she wanted him mute. No one paid him any heed. As they passed through the press of sweating men and animals, dust and clatter, the stench of labor and dung, only the insects noticed him. In this he might disappear, if her attention lapsed, if the crows became distracted. Could they pick him out of such a mob? She led the way toward the works atop the hill, already nearing completion. She paused again and again to speak to men, usually about matters of no consequence. She was not playing the role right if she meant to usurp Lady. Lady's manner was distant and imperious, unless she was striving for a specific result. Of course, she wanted word spread that Lady was back. What was she up to? His conscience told him he had to do something, but he could think of nothing. Nobody recognized him. That did his ego no good. Only months ago, all Taglios had hailed him liberator. Word ran ahead. As they approached the inner fortress, a man came out. The Prabhrindra Dra himself. He was here, directing construction? That was not like him. He stayed holed up where the priests could not get to him. The prince said,
"I didn't expect you back right away."
"We've won a small victory north of Dejagore. The Shadow Masters lost 4,000 men. Blade planned the operation and carried it out. I decided to leave him in charge. I came back to recruit and train new formations. You've done well here. I take it the priests abandoned their obstructionism?"
"You convinced them."
The prince looked troubled.
"But you don't have any friends now. Don't leave your back unguarded."
His gaze kept drifting to Croker. He seemed puzzled.
"Your man Ram seems odd today."
"Touch of dysentery. How is the recruiting going?"
"Slow. Most of the volunteers are helping here. Most men are holding off, waiting to have their minds made up for them."
"Let them know about the victory. Let them know the siege can be broken. Shadow Spinner has no strength left. He's getting no help from Long Shadow. He's on his own with an army so battered only its fear of him holds it together."
Croker glanced up at a few clouds sliding east from the sea. Nothing remarkable about them, but they did cause thoughts to click. The subtle bitch. He knew exactly what she was doing. Lady was down there sparring with Shadow Spinner, beyond the main, which became impassable during the rainy season. A touch here, a nudge there, and that contest would go on till it was too late for Lady to get back over the river. The season was not that far away now. 2 months at the most. Lady would be trapped over there with the Shadow Masters. Ketcher would have 5 months to take control here, without interference. Probably without anyone discovering who she was. Her crows would watch the routes north. Messengers would be intercepted.
The bitch! The black-hearted bitch!
The prince frowned at him, sensing his turmoil, but he was preoccupied with the woman.
"Maybe we can do the garden again sometime."
"That would be lovely. But remember, it's my turn to put on the spread."
The prince smiled weakly. "If they'll let you, after last time."
"I didn't start it."
What was that about? Something involving Lady had happened in the gardens? Soul Catcher did not tell him everything, only what would leave his heart raw. He sensed someone watching, spied smoke lurking in shadows. The wizard's face was a mask of hatred. That faded when he realized he had been spotted. He started shivering, slipped away. Crows followed, Croker noted. Of course, wherever smoke went, he would be watched. Soul Catcher knew all about him.
Ketcher asked, "Have my quarters been completed? It's been a long, dusty road. It'll take me 2 hours to get human."
They're not finished, but they should do. Shall I have someone take your horses and give you a hand with your things?
Yes, of course. Kind of you.
She did some trick with her eyes. The prince went shy.
There are some men I want to see.
She named names unfamiliar to Croker.
Send them to my quarters. Ram will entertain them till I'm cleaned up.
Of course. The prince summoned his hangers-on, sent them to find the men she wanted. At Catcher's gesture, Croker dismounted and handed his horse over. He followed her as she followed the prince. The crows did a good job scouting, he admitted. Grudgingly, she was pulling it off without a hitch. In ladies' quarters, he discovered why he could be called Ram, why no one knew him. He encountered a mirror. He did not see himself in it. He saw a big, dirty Shadar with hair enough for a gorilla. She had laid a glamour on him. The men Catcher asked for were low-caste, skin-and-bone, nervous little creatures unable to meet her eye. As he introduced himself, each added words and cant that Croker did not recognize. The honorifics were puzzling enough. Daughter of Night? What did that mean? Too much was happening, and he had no way of knowing what, nor any control. Catcher told those men, "I want you to watch the wizard's smoke. At least two of you should be within sight of him all the time. I especially want to know if he goes near the Street of the Dead Lamps. If he enters it, stop him. By whatever means necessary, though I'd rather he didn't make an early entrance into paradise." The men all plucked at bits of colored cloth peeking from their loincloths. One said,
"As you will, so it shall be, mistress."
"Of course. Get on with it. Find him. Stick tight. He's dangerous to us."
The men hurried out, obviously eager to be away from her.
"They're terrified of you,"
Croker observed. His voice came back when he was alone with her.
"Naturally, they think I'm the daughter of their goddess. Why don't you get cleaned up? I can smell you from here. I'll have them bring you new clothes."
The bath and clothes were the only good things that happened that day.
Chapter 48.
I did not get the sleep I needed. The dreams were bad. I wandered the caverns under the earth, awash in the stench of decay. The caverns were no longer cold. The old men were rotting. They were still alive, but decaying. When I passed through their line of sight, I felt their appeal, their blame. I really tried. But I could get no nearer whatever my destination was supposed to be. The thing trying to recruit me was getting impatient. Narayan wakened me.
"I'm sorry, mistress. It's important."
He looked like he had seen a ghost. I sat up and started vomiting. Narayan sighed. His friends moved to mask me from the men. He looked worried. He feared his investment was going to come up short. I was going to die on him. I was not worried about that. More the opposite, that I would not die and never escape the misery. What was wrong with me? This was getting old. Every morning, sick. And not that great the rest of the day. I didn't have time to be sick. I had work to do. I had worlds to conquer. "Help me up, Ram. Did I mess myself?"
"No, mistress."
"Thank the goddess for small favors. What is it, Narayan?"
"Better you see for yourself. Come, mistress, please."
Ram had brought horses. I collected myself, let him help me mount. We headed for the hills. As we left camp, I saw Blade and Swan and Mather with their heads together, exercised about something. Narayan did not ride, but he could lope along when he wanted. He was right. Seeing was better than hearing. I might not have believed a verbal report. The plain had flooded. At the north and south ends, water roared out of the hills. The aqueducts had gone mad. I said, "Now we know where those work parties headed. They must have diverted both rivers. How deep is it?"
"At least 10 feet already."
I tried guessing how high it could rise. The hills were deceptive. It was hard to tell. The plain was lower than the land beyond the hills, but not much. The water should not get more than 60 feet deep, but that would be enough to flood the city. Mogaba was in a fix. He had no way out, unless he built boats or rafts. Shadow Spinner would not have to waste a man to keep him tied up.
Good gods, where did the Shadowlanders go?
I had a bad feeling I had one foot in a bear trap. Narayan summoned a man on scout duty. He told us the Shadowlanders had pulled out in two forces, north and south, shortly after sunrise. I consulted maps in my head, told Narayan, "We have to run. Fast, or we'll be dead before noon. Get up here behind me. You, soldier, get up behind Ram and hang on. Are there other men out here?"
"A few, mistress."
"They'll have to look out for themselves. Let's go." We were a sight, I'm sure. Only one of us, a competent rider, and she so sick she had to stop twice to throw up. But we got back to camp before the hammer fell. Blade had them ready to march. Now I knew what he'd been up to with Swan and Mather. He had heard about the water and had sensed its significance. He awaited orders. "Send cavalry north and south to scout and harass."
"Done already. 200 men in each direction."
"Good. You're a natural." I'd already recalled, rejected, and re-examined a trick that had been played on my armies in the north. Hurry was essential. I could see what might be dust north of us. "Move the infantry into the hills. I want every horseman to cut brush and drag it behind, headed due east. Get messengers off to the skirmishers. I want contact kept as long as possible. Draw them eastward and keep leading them as long as they'll follow." The ruse would not work after dark, if it worked at all. Then Shadow Spinner's pet shadows would tell him he'd been taken, but that would be time enough to elude him. If he kept chasing me, Mogaba's men would escape. He would not want that. Blade wasted no time. Swan and Mather dashed around helping. Our differences would wait. A new sense of confidence and discipline was apparent as the troops moved into the hills. They trusted me and Blade to get them through this. The horsemen headed out, raising enough dust for a horde on the march. Blade, Swan, Mather, Narayan, and I watched from a low hill. "That will do it if he can be fooled at all," I said. "He'll see us just slipping out. Get excited. Try to nab us on the run." Swan raised crossed fingers to the sky. Blade asked,
"What's our next move?"
"Drift north through the hills."
"He's biting," Mather said.
Blade said,
"It occurs to me that, for speed's sake, he would have left behind anyone not in top condition."
I told him, "You are learning, and you're turning nasty."
"Nasty business."
"Yes. The rest of you understand?" Swan wanted it explained. Spinner would leave his injured and second-line troops behind so they wouldn't slow him down. They should be up where the north road enters the hills. We can take them by surprise. Narayan, send some scouts ahead. Narayan was pleased with me now. There was a lot of killing going on. There was promise of a real Year of the Skulls.
Chapter 49. Smoke drifted into the darkness, glanced right and left, cursed softly. There they were again. Those men! He could not shake them. They knew where he was going before he went. It was disheartening and frightening. The longer he delayed visiting his contacts, the stronger Long Shadow's image grew within his mind, and the more terrified he became on a level so deep it was part of his soul. Something terrible had been done to him, something that had reached into him as deeply as a man could be reached. Somehow Long Shadow had hidden a fragment of himself inside him to drive him into executing the Shadow Master's will. The voice within had become a shriek. If he did not shake the watchers, he would not be able to avoid betraying his contacts. He pretended not to notice the men, though they did nothing to remain anonymous. Did she know and just want to scare him away from his contacts? Maybe. Maybe it did not matter if he betrayed them. He started walking. His shadows followed. He tried to elude them, relying on a superior knowledge of the city. He had haunted the shadows and alleys and hidden ways all his life. As he knew the palace better than anyone living, so he knew Taglios. He gave it his best. And when he stepped out of a shanty warren where he got lost twice himself trying to get back out, one of his stalkers was waiting,
leaning against a building. The man grinned. Long Shadow filled Smoke's mind. The Shadow Master was angry. His patience was failing. Smoke stamped across the street.
How the hell do you keep track of me?
The man spat to one side, smiled again.
You can't evade the eye of Kina, wizard.
Kina!
Another terror to pile atop his fear of Long Shadow. You can run, but you can't hide. You can twist and wiggle, but you can't get off the hook. You can skulk and whisper in locked rooms, but you can't keep secrets. Each breath you draw is numbered. The fear deepened. And always has been. Smoke turned to run. There's a way out.
What?
There's a way out. Look at you. Maintain your allegiance to the Shadow Master, and you're dead if your Taglian friends find out. If they don't kill you, he will when he's done with you. But you can get out. You can come home. You can shake the terror that's like a beast starving for your soul. Smoke was too frightened to wonder why the thug did not talk like a street creature.
How?
He would try anything to get out from under Shadow Master's thumb. Come to Kina.
Oh, no!
He nearly shrieked. The only escape was to yield himself to a greater horror?
No!
Up to you, wizard. But life isn't going to get any better. This time Smoke did run. He did not care if he was followed. Exercise reduced panic. As he neared his destination, he realized that he had not seen any bats since leaving the palace. That was new. Where were the Shadow Master's messengers? He bustled into a tall slum tenement, hurried upstairs, pounded on a door. A voice said,
"Enter."
He froze two steps inside the doorway. The man he had been talking to leaned against the opposite wall. There were 8 corpses in the room, all strangled. The man said, "The goddess doesn't want your master to know her daughter is here." Smoke squeaked like a stomped rat. He fled. The man laughed. The man amongst the corpses shrank. He became the imp, Frog Face, who chuckled, then faded away. Smoke calmed down before he reached the palace. His mind started working. He had one bolt left. It could bite him as easily as his enemies, but... Engulfed by the darkness, he could but flee toward the only light he saw. He would not yield to Kina. Chapter 50. As dusk gathered, I descended on Long Shadow's stay-behinds and routed them completely. The slaughter was great. It failed being complete only because my cavalry was otherwise occupied. We had the field to ourselves before the last light left the sky.
"Old Spinner's going to know in a few minutes," Swan said. "I figure he'll have him a litter of kittens, then he'll get pissed. We ought to go somewhere where he can't catch us."
He was on the right track. Coming through the hills, I had been considering going after the group left at the southern approach. Not till Swan spoke did I realize I would not be able to sneak up on that group. Night had come. Night belonged to Shadow Spinner. He would know where we were and where we were headed. Unless that was away from him, he would be waiting when we arrived. Two, he might be desperate enough to appeal to Long Shadow. Maybe Long Shadow had help on the way already. Whatever lay between them, it would not be as great as their enmity for the rest of the world. Though premature, theirs was a squabble over the spoils of conquest. Blade asked,
"Any way we could stay here and masquerade as the Shadow Master's men?"
"No, I don't have the skill. Our best bet is to go back north till he stops chasing us, then just keep him nervous while we decide what to do next." Narayan had started worrying about missing his delayed festival. Though I had passed my first test, he was suspicious of my will to become the Daughter of Night. A move north would assuage him. And the men needed time away from danger, to recuperate and digest their successes. Blade asked,
"The men in the city?"
"They're safer than they were. Shadow Spinner can't get at them now." Narayan grumbled. Sindhu was in there. I said, "Mogaba will cope. He's good at coping."
"Too good. We would have trouble down the road, him and me."
Nobody liked heading back north, except Narayan, but no one argued. I had gained ground, definitely.
Chapter 51 Smoke was no earthshaker as a wizard, but within his limitations, which he recognized, he was competent and effective. And forewarned, he was forearmed. The woman knew his every move? Then she commanded some unsuspected agency for espionage. He needed blind that only a few minutes. He scuttled through the palace, ducking his employers, who were looking for him. He dodged into one of his shielded rooms, barred the door. Obviously his shielding had been penetrated, because the man had implied she knew everything, meaning she had been peeking here, too. She was more than she pretended. Much more. She was the daughter of night. And that fool the prince had been blinded by her. Hadn't they been out to the gardens again tonight? No one could stop her but him. Maybe he could shake loose from Long Shadow later. The Shadow Master's face formed in his head. His legs turned to jelly. He shook his head violently, forced the apparition away, hurriedly set about checking his defenses. He found a pinhole through which some wicked spirit could have oozed, or a shadow for that matter. He plugged it. Then he worked a spell that pressed his limits. It would conceal his whereabouts till he became the object of a very determined search. Secure, he filled a small silver bowl from a mercury flask, working as swiftly as he dared. Before he was finished, he feared that he had been too slow. Someone tried the door. He jumped, but concentrated on opening the path to overlook. It came. It came. More quickly than he expected. It came. The Shadow Master had been thinking of him, too. The racket at the door became pounding and shouting. He ignored it. The dread face appeared on the surface of the mercury, amazed. It mouthed words. There was no sound. The Shadow Master was too far, Smoke's power too feeble. The little wizard gestured violently. Pay attention! He was startled by his own temerity. But this was a desperate hour. Desperate measures were necessary. Smoke grabbed paper and ink and scribbled. They were trying to break down the door. Damn, the woman had reacted quickly. He held his message up for Long Shadow. The Shadow Master read. He reread. Then Long Shadow looked him in the eye and nodded. He appeared bewildered. Carefully, he mouthed the words so Smoke could read his lips. The door began to give, and something else was trying to get in now, clawing and tearing at the plugged pinhole. The door gave a little more. Smoke got half the message before the pinhole plug broke. Dense smoke boiled into the room. A face glared out of it. Hideous and fanged and filled with grim purpose, it came for him. He squealed, jumped up, overturned table and bowl. The door gave way as the demon caught him. He screamed and tumbled down into an abyss of terror. The guards took one look, cursed, dropped the ram, and fled. The prince stepped inside, saw the thing ripping at Smoke. The Radisha crowded up behind him. What the hell is that?
I don't know. I don't think you ought to stay to find out.
He looked for a weapon, recognized the absurdity of the impulse as he grabbed a sword-like sliver split from the doorframe. The monster looked up, startled. It stared. Apparently, this situation was beyond its instructions. It hung there, motionless. The Prabhrindra threw the sliver like a spear. The thing shrank away into an upper corner of the room, swiftly and dramatically, leaving behind an odor like cinnamon and mustard and wine all mixed.
What the hell was it?
The Radisha demanded again. She was petrified. The Prabhrindra jumped over to the wizard. Smoke's blood was everywhere, along with shreds of clothing. The thing had driven him into a corner. What was left of him had drawn itself into a tight, fetal ball. The prince dropped to his knees.
He's alive. Get some help, fast, or he won't be for long.
He started doing what he could. Chapter 52 Long Shadow let out one long scream of rage that echoed throughout Overlook. It brought toadies running, bent with fear he would take it out on them, whatever it was.
"Get out! Get out and stay! Wait! Get in here!"
Calm returned suddenly. He'd always had a facility for gaining control when the crisis was tight. That was when he thought his best, responded most quickly. Maybe this was a blessing in disguise.
"Bring the big sending bowl. Bring Mercury. Bring that fetish that belongs to my guest and ally. I must contact him."
They scurried around in terror. That was good to see. They held him in high fear. Fear was the power. What you feared ruled you. He thought of shadows and a plane of glittering stone. The rage boiled up. He rejected it as he rejected fear. One day, when the distractions were eliminated, that plane would bend to him. He would conquer it, end the fear of it forever. They had everything set before he was ready himself.
"Now get out! Stay out till I call."
He activated the bowl and reached for his man. He touched nothing. He tried again. Again. 4 times. 5. The rage was about to break through again. The howler responded.
"Where have you been?"
"Aloft."
Scant whisper, barely perceptible.
"I had to set down first. Bad news. She's tricked our friend again. Slaughtered another several thousand men."
That went past Long Shadow. Shadow Spinner's travails were nothing.
"Is she there? At all?"
"Of course she is."
"Are you positive? Have you seen her? My shadows can't find her. Last night they couldn't do more than suggest she might be in a given general area."
"Not with my own eyes," Howler admitted. "I'm tracking her forces, though, waiting for the chance to strike. Late tonight, I think."
"I've just had a report from the wizard in Intaglios. A desperate effort on his part. All our agents there have been strangled. He says she's there. With her Shadar shadow. And she knows he's ours."
Before he finished, something demonic burst in and tore him apart. "That's impossible. She was here 2 days ago."
"Have you seen her? With your own eyes?"
"No."
"Recall. She always favored illusion and misdirection. There was evidence she was regaining her powers. Maybe much faster than she let on. Maybe she's tricked us into believing she was one place when she was another. The Taglians said our agents were killed to keep them from reporting her presence."
The howler did not respond. Both men thought. Long Shadow finally said,
"I can't fathom why she'd send an army to make us believe she was in our territories."
"But I know her. You know her. If it's that important to her that we believe her somewhere she isn't, then it's lethally important to us.
There's something in Taglios she doesn't want us to discover. Perhaps she's on the track of the Lance. Someone carried it away from the battlefield. It hasn't been seen since." "If I go, we're liable to lose Deja Gore and Spinner. His skills are impaired. His mind is as dull as a knife used to chop rock."
Long Shadow cursed softly.
"Yes. Pray come the day when Shadow Spinner was no longer needed. When there was no need for a bulwark against the North. But somebody had to bear the brunt now."
"Do something, then go."
The runt could understand that.
"Collect her quick. Hell will be a pleasure compared to what we'll face if she stays loose till all her powers are restored." "Consider it done," the howler whispered. "Consider her taken."
"I take nothing for granted where Senjak is concerned. Get her, damn it! Get her!"
He slammed a fist into the Mercury. That killed the connection. He let the rage roar through him. He hurled things, broke things, till it was appeased. Then he went up into his tower and glowered his hatred at the night-hidden plain.
"Why must you torment me? Why? Turn away. Let me be."
If that was not out there, ready to burst its bonds, he would be free to deal with these things himself. He would make short work of these problems if he could see to them himself. But he needs must rely on incompetence and agents with insufficient power to get the job done. He thought of the Taglian wizard. That tool had not done the job for which it had been forged, but it had served. Pity it had been destroyed so quickly. A pity.
Chapter 53 The cavalry rejoined us 2 days north of Dejagore, where I made camp. The general mood was positive. The men resented having been withdrawn. They did not want to believe they had just been lucky, not invincible. I wanted them to know their luck could turn. They did not believe me. Most people believe only what they want to believe. Their confidence had infected Narayan and Blade. Those two would have turned south again without question had I ordered it. I was tempted. I considered myself lucky to be sick. It kept me thinking rationally. They presented a plan for harassing Shadow Spinner into another trap. I told them, Spinner won't charge into traps. If we separate him from his men, maybe we can trap them, but not him. Narayan leaned close.
It wasn't luck, mistress. It was Kina. Her spirit is loose. It is the time of foreshadowing. The year of the skulls approaches. She passes her hand over the eyes of her enemies. She is with us.
I wanted to tell him that the man who counts on the aid of a god deserves the help he doesn't get, but I reconsidered. The deceivers were true believers. Whatever else, however bloodthirsty and criminal their enterprises, they believed in their goddess and mission. Kina was not just a convenient fiction excusing their crimes. After months of dreams, I had trouble not believing in Kina myself. Maybe not as Narayan's kind of goddess, but as a potent force that fed on death and destruction. Blade asked,
Why not take Shadow Spinner out of the picture?
Right. A stroke of genius, Blade. Maybe if we all wish hard enough, he'll come floating belly up. He smiled. His smile was no fawning grin like Narayan's, but it was powerful because he used it so seldom. He offered me a hand up.
Take a walk with me, please.
Right on the edge there, Blade. He was not sufficiently impressed, I feared. I reminded myself to remember he probably had his own agenda, and I did not have the foggiest what it might be. We walked away from the others. Narayan and Ram and Swan all watched, each with his particular breed of jealousy. Well?
Shadow Spinner is the main enemy. Kill him and his army would collapse.
Probably.
I have eyes and ears. My brain works. When I'm curious, I ask questions. I know what Narayan is. I know what you are to him, and I think I know what they want you to become.
No great surprise, that. Probably half the army had some notion, though they might not believe Ram and Narayan deserved their legendary reputation. So?
I've seen Sindhu in action. I understand Narayan is better.
True.
Then point him at Shadow Spinner. He could have the Shadow Master dead before he knew what hit him.
Strangling a sorcerer is a good way of disposing of him. One of Spinner's magnitude relies heavily on voice spells and, secondarily, gesture spells. Stick him with a knife or sword or missile, and he can still use both voice and hands unless you kill him instantly. A Narayan could take away the voice, assuming he could break a neck as fast as he claimed. Gestures would not matter. Stipulated, I think, leaving one small problem. Moving Narayan near enough to use his Rummel. Narayan, of his kind, is what I used to be of mine. The pinnacle. The acme. I've watched him. He's death incarnate. But he lacks the skills needed to get close to Shadow Spinner. He just never learned how to turn invisible. Blade chuckled.
Bet that's a trick he'd love you to teach him.
No doubt. You've thought this through. You've seen the difficulties. You think you've seen ways around them. So tell me how we do it. I don't think it's practical, but I'll listen.
There are distinct kinds of assassins. A lone crazy who doesn't care if he gets killed himself. A cabal grasping for power, ready to turn on itself when its target is eliminated. And the professional.
I saw no point. I said so.
To be successful, we have to avoid the weaknesses of various kinds of assassins. I've watched you. Your skills aren't what they were, but you sell yourself short. You could disguise a strike team sneaking up on Shadow Spinner. If we create the illusion that our goals are impersonal, he won't guard against personal attack, right?
To a point.
To a point. Shadow Spinner shouldn't know you have problems with Mogaba, so go after ways to relieve the city, while a handful work on killing Shadow Spinner.
Tell me how.
Narayan should do the actual killing. You will have to disguise the attack group or make it invisible. Ram goes because he must. I go because no one else is better with a weapon. Swan goes because his presence implies the involvement of the Taglian state. Mather would be better because there's a personal involvement with the woman, but Cordy needs to hold the reins here. He's steady. He thinks. Willow is all passion, action without thought. Add however many specialists Narayan needs.
Two armholders. I said it in Strangler's cant. Blade gave me a quick glance. He was surprised I was that far into that world. We walked in silence. Then I said,
"You've just talked more than I've heard since I met you."
I talk when I have something to say.
Do you know card games? I had seen none south of the equator. Here the well-to-do played dominoes or board games. The impoverished games with dice or sticks you shook in a canister and tossed.
Some. Cordy and Mather had cards, but they wore out.
Know what a wild card is? He nodded. I stopped, bent my head, closed my eyes, concentrated, conjured a ferocious illusion. It took form high above. A flying lizard twice the size of an eagle. It dove. Crows have sharp eyes. They have brains for birds, but they are not geniuses. They panicked. The panic would make their reports of the event incomprehensible. Blade said,
"You did something."
He watched the crows flee. The birds are spies for one of the wild cards in our game. I told him what I had found in the grove and what I thought it meant. Mather and Swan have mentioned this Howler and Soulcatcher. They did not speak well of them, but they didn't speak well of you either, as you were. What's their interest here? I talked about them till the crows returned. Blade had no trouble grasping the intricacies of scheming in the old empire. He must have had experience. The crows reestablished their watch. I did not disturb it. Too often would generate suspicion. Blade wore a thin, pleased smile. As we approached the others, waiting silently, watching intently, each with his concerns too evident, Blade whispered,
"For the first time, I'm glad Cordy and Willow dragged me out."
I glanced at him quickly. Yes, he seemed completely alive for the first time since I'd met him. Chapter 54. The Prabrin Dra turned slowly before a mirror, admiring himself.
"What do you think?"
The Radisha eyed his tailor dress, bright silk and jewels. He cut a handsome figure.
"When did you turn into a peacock?"
He half drew a sword he'd had forged as a symbol of the state.
"Nice."
It was as fine a weapon as could be produced by Taglian craftsmen. Hilt and pommel, a work of art incorporating gold, silver, rubies, and emeralds in a symbolic intertwining of the emblems of Taglian faiths. The blade was strong, sharp, practical, but its hilt was overweight and clumsy. Still, it was not a combat weapon, just a trapping of office.
"Gorgeous, and you're trying to make a fool of yourself."
"Maybe, but I'm having fun doing it. And you'd be having fun making a fool of you if Mather was here, eh?"
The Radisha eyed him narrowly. He was not as open as he had been before Lady caught his eye. He was up to something, and for the first time in their lives, he was not sharing. That worried her. But she said only,
"You're wasting your time. It's raining. Nobody goes to the gardens when it's raining."
"It won't last."
That was true. It was just a brief rain. They always were, this time of year. The real rains were more than a month away. But still, she felt he should avoid the gardens tonight, with no rational basis for her feeling.
"You're investing too much in it. Slow down. Make her work harder."
He grinned. Give the woman that. Murderous she might be, but she did put a smile on his face.
"Don't count me so smitten, I'll give away the palace."
I wasn't thinking that, but she's changed since she came back. It concerns me.
I appreciate it, but I'm in control. Taglios is my first love. And hers is the company. If she's up to anything, it's trying to make sure we don't go back on our bargain.
That could be enough. Regarding the Black Company, she still hovered over the abyss between his position and Smoke's.
How's Smoke?
He asked. Hasn't come to yet. They say he lacks the will to recover.
Tell those leeches that for their sakes he'd better. I want to know what happened. I want to know what that thing was. I want to know why it wanted to kill him. Our Smoke has been up to something. It could get us destroyed.
They had discussed that again and again. There were implications in Smoke's behavior which boded evil. Till they learned the truth, they suspected. A sword hung over their heads.
You haven't said what you think.
I think everyone who sees you will think you look like a prince of the blood instead of a vegetable peddler someone threw ill-fitting clothing on and called a prince.
He chuckled. You're right, in your sarcastic way. I never cared what I looked like. Wasn't anyone I wanted to impress. Time to go.
Suppose I go along this once.
A facetious suggestion to see how he wriggled. Why not? Get ready. It ought to be amusing, seeing her response.
And instructive? The Radish's estimate of her brother rose. He was not completely smitten. I won't be long. She was not. It took her longer to pass instructions to Smoke's attendants than to prepare to go out. Chapter 55. Croker leaned on the lance supporting the company standard, wearing his Shadar disguise. He was bored. He was not alert. He was depressed. He had begun to despair of escape. He was ready to say the hell with it and try walking first time a faint chance arose. The Prabhrindra-Dra and Soulcatcher chattered and laughed beneath paper lanterns while garden staff came and went. They were oblivious to anything but one another. The surprise guest, the Radisha, was out in the cold. Ignored. Croker had grumbled about spending so much time on the prince and not enough on preparing soldiers. Catcher had laughed. Told him not to worry. She would be true to him forever. This was just politics. He would not be able to resist her much longer. She had him on the run, desperate, on the brink of surrender. Once he did that, she would have won everything. Maybe he should. Maybe once she counted that final coup, she would just go away, back north, where her prospects were so much finer. She talked about going north sometimes. Being her companion was cruel. She had made of him something more than spoil. She talked about the soul catcher inside sometimes, when what she had chosen to be became too much to bear. In those moments, when she was human, he was most vulnerable. In those moments he wanted to comfort her. He was sure the moments were genuine, not tactical. Her approach to conquest was not subtle. Brooding, it took him a while to notice that the Radisha was paying him more attention than a bodyguard deserved. She was not obvious, but she was subjecting him to intense scrutiny. It startled him, disturbed him, then just left him curious. Why? Some flaw in his disguise? No way to tell. He'd never seen the man he was supposed to be. He started thinking about what Lady might be doing, what relationships she might be forming. Was there yet another level to Catcher's vengeance? Did she not only want to seduce him and rape his heart, but